Hey, friends, we're in for a treat. John Haller, prophecy update expert. He's with us. I call him an expert. I think you could go along with that as well. We're going to talk about all kinds of executive orders and policies and geopolitics in the Middle East, AI, Davos, and a whole lot more next on Worldview Matters.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Well, as you know, if you've been keeping up with everything, President Trump wasted no time. He was prepared on day one with all the executive orders. First of all, undoing part of Biden's legacy and all the things that he put in place. And also, John, let's bring in John Haller now and get your response to some of this. Thanks for doing another show with us, brother.
Glad to do it, David.
Yeah, the previous one, because of the football conversation, we didn't have a chance to get into as many of these as we would like. And if you missed that, friends, you got to go back and talk. We talk college football and then teams glorifying Jesus. And that's all that needs to be said, John. Don't close.
Okay.
All right. So, one of the orders I thought was interesting, flags fly full staff on inauguration day. What is, I don't understand that one.
Well, part of that was, you know, if you remember the Jimmy Carter funeral, and you had Trump coming in and sitting next to Obama, and then Kamala Harris coming in and sitting just in front of Trump. And you had the Bushes there, and you had Bill and Hillary Clinton. It was kind of an interesting, let's just say it was an awkward moment.
Yeah.
But listen, I had very little respect for Jimmy Carter. He lied about the Middle East. He was wrong theologically, biblically, and politically about Israel.
Yep.
He was very pro-Iran, and so I don't mind that Trump came in and said, well, this is a day of celebration for America. We're not going to have the flags lowered to half staff today. A lot of people are upset by that. I've said this, and I stand by it. Jimmy Carter wrote a book on Israel, not apartheid, peace, not apartheid, or some ridiculous thing. It's not apartheid. In fact, I just interviewed recently a guy named Hillel Fold. His brother had been stabbed by a 16-year-old Palestinian kid 6 years ago, died. Hmm. He shot the kid before he did, but that kid is being released in connection with the ceasefire agreement that the Trump administration and the Biden administration brokered. And it's like, But he mentioned during the interview, his name is Hillel Fold, F-U-L-D, brother Ari killed, larger than life guy. I mean, this guy loved Israel, loved being back, loved having immigrated to Israel. But he went to the store to buy groceries. And I've been by the shopping center where he was stabbed by this kid and died. Mm-hmm. But when you go around Israel, I think people need to understand, when you go into certain areas, these are the areas controlled by the Palestinian Authority, subsequent the Oslo Accords that were signed in 1993 during the Bill Clinton administration. There's a big red sign, and it says you are entering an area controlled by the Palestinian Authority. Entry to citizens of Israel is barred, and you can be punished and imprisoned if you violate this order. So think about this. The Jews who live in the land, who have an historical connection to the land, are barred. I've been in more places in Israel than the Jews who have moved there. And the thing that's an abomination to me as a supporter of Israel is that the biblical heartland, the central highlands, which is where most biblical history within Israel takes place, the home of the tribe of Benjamin, where King Saul came from, David from Judea, Samaria, the northern kingdom, Shechem, Shiloh, all of these cities are in the biblical heartland, and by and large, Jews are barred from by law from going there. So you want to talk about apartheid?
Yeah,
that's apartheid. And the world has completely flipped that upside down. And the rise of anti-Semitism now is just absolutely off the charts. So we're already off track of the.
We have kind of like a bullet points and agenda we wanted to cover this podcast. But thank you for mentioning Jimmy Carter and the way you did. I was disappointed to see some people just, you know, rave about him, not just as a president, but as a Christian. Now, I know he's done some great humanitarian work with Habitat for Humanity and whoever else. But his biblical worldview was a little off. And that's all I'll say.
Let me have one more comment? I think that I would say that the only thing that Jimmy Carter excelled at was being wrong on almost every issue. And I would liken it to this, because we have this interesting converging. You know, I talk to Bible prophecy about all of these things that we know are going to happen in the end times. They're converging right now. They're accelerating and converging. And during the, the Trump administration, or the inauguration of Trump, they went to the National Cathedral for the, I don't know, Day of Prayer or something. And they had this leftist Trump hating bishop get up and castigate Trump over his support on the trans thing and all this other stuff. And listen, she was unbiblical in every aspect of everything that she said. And I would hope that pulpits across America, since that happened, have been sort of on fire calling her out. This comes from very bad. I believe that she went to Virginia Theological Seminary, which is very much pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel. And so she was wrong. And I will say, I will give Trump, look, whether you like Trump or not, okay, it's going to be transactional. There's going to be things he does that we like. There's going to be things that we don't like. It's the same way with every president. But I will say, in the first week of his presidency, he has been very clear. I mean, he is shutting down whole aspects. We're going to have men in men's sports, women in women's sports. We're shutting down this trans nonsense. We're shutting down the DEI. We're making the federal employees come back to the office to work, which is kind of interesting because I think a lot of them have moved out. They wanted to cash in on the increased house price and they've left DC. And now they're like, wait, you mean I got to come back to the office?
Jeez.
Wait a minute. You haven't been in the office, and some of them have been in the office for 4 years. So he's terminating these DEI programs. And, you know, early on in the week he became president, he went to Davos. Well, he didn't go to Davos, but he gave a speech at Davos.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, I watched this speech and I'm thinking like, you could almost hear the heads exploding among the liberal one worldist globalist elites that want to tell us everything to do. And he just said, I mean, he went through all the, we're getting rid of DEI. We're getting rid of this nonsense. There's two sexes. He's even gone so far as to say, we're not going to give protections to transgender people in prison because women are getting raped in women's prisons because of these guys that go there claiming that they're women. And then they rape a woman. It's just, listen, the nonsense, the evil that has gone on in this country, somebody needed to come in and put a stop to it. He's declared a crisis at the border. Now, interestingly enough, as the Trump administration was coming in, there were plans being made by the people, Tom Homan and others are going to handle that. Those plans got leaked to the Wall Street Journal and Washington Post. The city of Chicago, where they were going to target initially, came out and said that they were going to continue their status as a sanctuary city. So we're going to see a lot of turmoil over the first few months, at least, of the Trump administration. He's also ending birthright citizenship. My understanding, I still have to confirm this. This is when we're recording this. I'm not sure. But birthright citizenship has been sort of enshrined in U.S. law under the 14th Amendment in a way that it was never intended. Mm-hmm. And there's actually within the congressional record documents from back at that time, there's statements that this should not be, you know, if somebody's here from a foreign country, they're not a citizen and they have a child, they don't get to be under this amendment, 14th Amendment.
Yeah.
My understanding is that some people have noticed that that's being removed from the electronic records that are kept about the congressional record.
Well,
we're in a low-level war here on these things.
Yeah, yeah. The left is going to double down. We can't expect them to go away or sleep for a couple years. But I just saw a headline recently, too, that said 22 states sued Trump for the executive order ending birthright citizenship. 22 states have already come against that. So how is this all going to play out?
They've initially been given an injunction against the enforcement of that provision that Trump wants to do. So that it's, you know, it's sort of the lawyer full employment act that's coming in with Trump. So having been a lawyer, that's we always are happy to see those type of things happen.
That's funny. So we got a few minutes before we take our first our break, not our first break, the only break. What do you think about Tom Homan? I've heard amazing things about this guy. I personally think he's going to do a great job, but just want to get your take on him as far as dealing with the border issues.
I will say that there's some entertaining things in congressional hearings to watch. One is Tom Homan being questioned by Democrats. And the other one I would say would be Republican Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana questioning members of the opposition or the Biden administration. They're quite humorous in that they humorously show the stark differences between the parties. I don't think any of those differences have gone away. We're still a deeply divided country. You know, Trump is, he's going to be drilling for oil, looking for natural resources.
Thank you. Yes.
He's pulled out of the Paris Climate Accords. He's pulled out of the World Health Organization.
Thank you.
So, I mean, all of these things are very, very good things. And I think after the break that we'll talk about some things that I think are concerning to me that I would like to see done. But he's going to recognize the fact that we have an energy problem in this country. His Treasury Secretary in his confirmation hearing said, we're not in a war with China over who's going to have the greenest energy. We're in an energy war with China, who will open 100 coal-burning power plants in China this year. They have 400 under construction. They have multiple nuclear reactors under construction. And we think that wind and solar are going to work. How's that working out down? How did that work out down south during the blizzards that took place? 12 inches of snow in Florida.
Yeah, and didn't during the Obama years, didn't we learn, remember Solyndra and some of those companies, we had to bail them out, hundreds of millions of dollars, these solar companies that failed, our tax dollars at work, right?
I think we're going to see some, we don't know the extent of the waste and corruption in the Biden, or the in the O-Biden administration.
Yeah.
That will come to light.
Yeah. Okay, so just to tease what's coming up, we're going to talk about AI, Starlink. Also, I wanted to ask you about, this is interesting, that his executive order on restoring freedom of speech, which ends federal censorship, all those of us who have been online, social media, I want to ask you about what you think Zuckerberg is doing. We'll talk about that and more with John Haller when we come back on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. If you are listening right now via audio podcast, please help us out and leave a 5-star review on either Apple or Spotify to help the show rise in the rankings. And also, you can subscribe to our new YouTube channel, Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo on YouTube. Thanks for your prayers and for your support and for following us and sharing. John Haller, Trump issued an executive order on free speech, saying the previous administration trampled free speech rights by censoring American speech online platforms, often by exerting substantial coercive pressure on third parties, such as social media companies. Stop right there. And we saw Zuckerberg recently. First of all, he admitted that the Biden administration had staffers yelling in the phone at some of his employees, Facebook, Meta, for not censoring, quote, misinformation about COVID or even the election. So much nonsense that has come to light. But your thoughts on this, John? This is important for the average person.
It's been kind of an interesting thing. And so I have my concerns about these tech giants. I'm not so sure that they don't play into what the big beast empire that we talk about in the end times that's coming. In fact, there was an article recently in the Times of London that said that the tech giants are now operating as nation states. The money that's flowing through them is absolutely incredible. They have these new AI things. They're huge energy demands. But Zuckerberg has come out and said, hey, yeah, we were pressured. We're sorry. We won't do that again. Now, I don't believe that. They'll go with the flow. But the optics of the inauguration were very interesting because a lot of people said, well, why is he putting all these billionaires right there in the front?
Yeah.
And the reason for that was optics. You know, he had his family there, and then like right behind him were all these tech billionaires. So when you look, add up Zuckerberg, Musk, Bezos, and whoever else was there, you had $1 trillion of personal net worth sitting behind. I mean, Musk, his net worth has doubled since the election in November. So he's now worth $450 billion. He's one of the richest men ever. And so, and he has the Starlink thing. He's got the space thing. They're catching these rockets and all this. This is amazing. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, it's hard to catch a fastball, let alone a rocket that's coming in at supersonic speed. And that weighs tons and tons and tons. I mean, it's kind of amazing. And then they have the Starlink. Go look at the Starlink map of all the satellites in space.
Yep. It's amazing.
And now, by the way, now when there's problems, Starlink is coming in to provide Wi-Fi and cell connection for people, like in North Carolina, now that the Biden FEMA people aren't running it, in Los Angeles, where these horrible fires have occurred, where there's been, I'm hearing, $250 billion of damage. I mean, you lived out there. You know these areas very well. The Palisades is gone.
Yeah.
And by the way, these things are not being built back. I mean, Coastal Commission in Southern California, you think these things are going to be built back in 5 or 10 years? Good luck.
No.
And they will never be the same.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm 70 years old. The Pacific Palisades, one of the greatest places to live in the world, climate and everything, it will not come back in my lifetime. I will be long gone, and hopefully a lot of us will be long gone before all of that takes place. And in the millennium, we can get it rebuilt the right way, you know, maybe put some nice little golf courses in there along the ocean. But I mean, the things that are going on are just absolutely incredible. But this censorship thing was a big deal. They said, oh, we're not doing that. You know, listen, they were violating the First Amendment
all the time.
And listen, I'm telling you what, I hope people sue them for violation of the First Amendment. You and I, with our YouTube channels, if we talked about anything controversial, we get a strike. I had somebody come to church. Now we have a strike on our account for 90 days. So we got to walk on eggshells if we don't want to lose the Bible teachings on the channel. Jeez. And they're trying to socially control us. So this is bad. So, I mean, they're doing things on environmental justice, all of these things, federal regulations, reverse bans on offshore drilling, rollback energy efficiency regulations for dishwashers, shower heads, and gas stoves. I would love to have a full flow water shower head. You know, the reminds me of that Seinfeld episode where they Kramer yeah. bought one. What's that one? Oh, that's the Ajax 50. That's they use that. You don't want that one. That's the one they use to wash circus elephants.
Didn't he buy that out of the trunk of someone's car?
Yeah.
Selling them
yeah.
on
the black market shower.
Yeah.
That was a classic Seinfeld episode. Yep. But anyway,
what about Starlink and AI? There's a connection there that you were wanting to mention.
I mean, so there is a concern, though, about one of the other things announced in the early days of the Trump administration was a thing called Project Stargate. I wish they wouldn't use these names like this. So they you know, the tech companies come in and say, we're going to invest $500 billion in AI. That's concerning. And then you have one of the billionaires, Larry Ellison, there saying, oh, we're going to develop these new, I'll call them state-approved treatments for using a thing called mRNA for cancer. And these things are not used. So we'll be able to find out what cancer you have, and we'll bring out a new vaccine for you in 48 hours. Oh. And I'm just like, I just don't think this is good. And so these technocrats that want to run everything. So Patrick Wood, our friend, been talking about technocracy for a long time. Yep. I think that's coming in on steroids, even under the Trump administration. They have just had a big meeting at Davos, the World Economic Forum. The whole thing was called the Collaboration in the Intelligence Age. Artificial intelligence is coming out. I don't know how smart artificial intelligence is going to be, but what you're talking about, like Larry Ellison has talked about, a surveillance state, and all this will be a great thing. This, you know, we'll be able to do all these things. And as a lawyer, I'm getting ads every day on my Facebook and Twitter feed or X feed for legal AI tools. And some of them say this shows where this is going, because yeah. it's going to have a huge impact on employment. So these guys come in and they say, hey, you can get this AI thing and it will do the legal research that your young associates used to do. Well, what's the impact, though? So you can get AI to do it, and it's pretty accurate from the examples that I've seen. But how are young lawyers going to learn the law? Because, you know, you go to law school and you get your license, and then you spend the next 40 or 50 years, like I did, practicing law, because you'd never have it exactly right. But you're always just practicing it. And it's very concerning. But I've seen some tech people that are in the know, and they're saying by the end of 2025, certainly by the end of 2027, as AI grows in power, a lot of white collar administrative jobs will disappear. Now, what are we going to do with these people? Are we going to follow the Davos World Economic Forum model where, you know, Noah Yuval Harari, whether you like him or not, he does sort of prognosticate about the future, and he's accurate. Mm-hmm. And he said, this has been back in 2017, I think he said, you know, in the Middle Ages, they had serfs that worked for the Lord of the Manor. And they would do things that the Lord of the Manor didn't want to do, like clean out the manure in the barn. They would plant the crops, harvest the crops. But he said, then he goes, we need to understand that in this intelligence age, this is 8 years ago, he said this.
Wow.
We are soon going to reach the point where there are people who have nothing of value to offer to society or humanity. Will be, I think the term he used is useless eaters. And what are we going to do with them? Of course, you know, the Davos people are all like, yeah, the useless eaters are all those other people, you know, other than us elites. But I'm telling you, we're in a very big transition phase.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it's understandable. I talk about demographics a lot. Not too many Bible prophecy guys do. Demographics, populations are collapsing all over the world.
Yeah.
So let's say we hope the Lord returns soon, but Let's say we get out to 2100. China right now has 1.4 billion people. In 2100, they are projected to have 400 million. That means their population will decline by a billion people. Iran's birth rate, fertility rate, has collapsed faster, according to the Iranian government, has collapsed faster than any country in human history over the last 10 years.
Wow.
And so when you factor this into Bible prophecy, you get this, understand that Xi or the mullahs in Iran or other people, these Islamic countries, they are about legacy. They are about the future. They want to protect their legacy. And so these things are happening very rapidly. We saw Syria fall in just a few days. By the way, Aleppo fell 350 troops. Vladimir Putin said this. They only had 350 guys come into Aleppo. They had 30,000 Syrian army there, and the 350 beat them. I mean, these are things of biblical proportions.
Wow.
You have Erdogan in Turkey. I know we in Bible prophets talk a lot about Ezekiel 38, 39. I know we're short on time.
Yeah.
Erdogan was behind everything in Syria. He's orchestrating this. We know that Turkey is involved in this Ezekiel 38, 39 coalition. Don't know exactly when it comes, but it's there. His son led a march in Jerusalem or in Istanbul on January 1st. Big poster, and it said, it had pictures of everything. It said, first Hagia Sophia, the largest church ever built in Christendom, that back in 2020, Erdogan turned it into a mosque, called it the Resurrection of Hagia Sophia. Second, Damascus, they talk about, because that's the Shia empire that was centered there, you know, back in the 700s. And third, tomorrow, Jerusalem, Al-Aqsa and the Jews. So they have these very, very big plans. And so this whole geopolitical thing is unfolding right in front of us as we speak. I think it's very important to pay attention. It's very newsworthy. It's very biblical. It's very prophetic on every level. And then you throw the AI stuff on top of that and the development of the Mark of the Beast technology. It's crazy. So we're going to do a roundtable on February the 12th with Patrick Wood, Scott Townsend, Bricholette, and Pete Garcia.
Okay, that'll
so
be next week.
Watch that.
Mm-hmm. All right. John, thank you so much. Appreciate
Thanks,
it, brother.
David.
We'll see you again. Friends,
Thanks.
God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.